How are you all doing this morning? Yeah? It's good. It's good to see you. It's good to be able to be back here and have the opportunity to minister with you this morning and to you here this morning. One of the things I like about this time of the year is that the days are getting longer and the night is getting shorter. You notice that? It's so good to be able to get up in the morning and go to work and it's light out and be able to come home at night and it's light out, where I was really getting tired of the getting up and going in the dark and coming back in the dark. We like the light. Amen. We like the light. I like the light a lot. I like the light. And it's that light that sort of, you know, it changes how you feel. Without the light, there's all these, you know, these kind of, we get to feel kind of funky when it's dark all the time. There's actually, I forget what the disorder is called. There's a disorder. Sad? No, I'm not sad. I'm feeling quite good. Thank you very much. But no, sad. Yeah, it's the sad. It's when you're not getting enough light in your life. And they got lights. They have sad lights. Have you seen the sad lights? They're not satellites. Sad lights. They're satellites you can put up in your house that try to make you not feel so sad when it's dark all the time, and it helps you with that. And it's we need light, and we need it around us, and we need to have it in our lives. This morning we're talking about light. Pastor Joel's been working through the Gospel of Mark. He's been talking about different portions in Scripture there through the Gospel of Mark. And we come to a section today, he's asked me to carry on with it, in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 21, where he's talking about light and a lamp that is there. The title of this message today is called Meant for Light. We are meant for light. We are meant to have light in us and around us and with us. Let's take a look at this scripture. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 21. He said to them, that's Jesus speaking. He said to them, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? And said, instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. And if anyone has ears, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has been given more, who does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. God is the creator of light. I was reminded of that this week when I went and just was doing some studying here. God created light on the first day. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, God created light on the first day. Do you know what day he created the sun, the moon, and the stars? Day 4. So you go, and that causes a real problem for some people. It's like, okay, how could there be light without sun, the moon, the stars? Because if God created the light on the first day, and the sun, the moon, and the stars didn't even appear until the fourth day, what happened in day 2 and 3? God was the light. God was the light. And the light of God is there for us to understand what he has and what he wants to do and how he wants to work in our lives. And there's two ways. This talks here about being a lamp and the light that we need to have. So it's put out so it's seen and able to give light. You don't want to take it and put it and hide it so it's of no use to you. I have this oil diffuser at home. Supposed to help me breathe better at night with the oil diffusing, but it's got light in it, okay? And so I like to, often sometimes I'll put it on when I go to bed, but the light is like the sun coming up in my bedroom, coming off of this thing. So I put, Sharing got this, we put a binder just around it to block out that light that's there. Sometimes you don't want that light and because it's getting there to you, but if you take that away, it fills up the whole room. And light is there to fill things up. We need light in two ways. We need the lamp of God. We need the light of God working in our lives in two very different ways, in two very distinct ways. One, we need the light of God working in our lives so that we can see around us. If you don't have light, it's hard to see. You cannot know where you're going if you don't have light. Secondly, we are to be the light to the world around us. Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night and your bedroom is dark and you have to make that little trip down the hall. And there's this battle between your mind and your toes. Your mind says, I know the way, I can get there. Your toes say, turn on the light. You hit that bedpost last time you tried this. And you have this battle going on within you. Should I go? When we had our cat, and our cat was around, I used to walk at night. I used to walk sort of like this because she would lay on the floor. And it was better to sort of give her a little kick a little bit, maybe just so I wouldn't step on her instead of stepping on her. But we need the light, and it's around us. And it's, so we need light to be able to see what's going on around us. Part of our problem that we have in our walk with God is that we don't understand all the things that are always going on around us. Anybody ever had a week or a day like that? How many had a day like that this week? You just go, I don't know what's going on around me. I'm frustrated, and I get home, and I'm sort of like the deer in the headlights. It's like, and you feel like that at the end of the day because you had no idea. You're in survival mode all day long. I'm going to get through this day. I will get through it. And at the end of the day, you go, oh, thank you, Jesus. I got through it. But you look back, you say, did I accomplish anything? Did I really learn anything? No, I just got through it because it kept happening to me. And I didn't understand all the things that were going on. And so I was reacting to this and I was reacting to that. I was reacting to this. I was reacting to that. And all these things were happening to me today. And I was struggling and being able to keep up with it. And just at the end of the day, you're exhausted because you're reacting to all the things going on around you. Because you don't understand all the other pieces that are happening. One of the ways we need God's light to work in our lives is we need God to start revealing to us his perspective on things that are happening to us and around us. We need his perspective on what this stuff is that's going on. We need his perspective on what's going on so that we can start to see it differently and be able to respond appropriately and accordingly to it. See, because if we're going to get to the second part of this, which is that we are to be the light of the world, we have to first of all understand what it means to function in the light, to walk in that which God has created for us, to walk in that light and that life that God has given to us. And he wants us to see it differently than we saw it before. There's one of the miracles of Jesus that's recorded in all four Gospels. It's the feeding of the 5,000. We find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's in all of those Gospels where Jesus fed the 5,000. And if you go and you look through the story, and since it's so familiar, please allow me just to talk through it a little bit. Since you go through the story and understand that this is what God did. Jesus had just found out about the death of Lazarus, of John the Baptist. He just found out about the death of John the Baptist. And it hit him hard. He was working through and feeling that. And he went out and went across the lake. But the crowd saw him going and they came along. And said that Jesus had compassion on them. And he started to heal them and administer to them. The disciples had had a long day. You ever had a long day? The disciples had had a long day. They'd found out about John the Baptist. They'd found out about all these other things going on. They'd been traveling and walking with Jesus for a long time. And the crowd came, and Jesus had been ministering to them now all day long. And they were tired and they were everything else. So they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you know, it's getting late. Can we send these guys home so that they can go get something to eat? Yeah, it's a good idea. Go home and get something to eat. Okay, they can go home and get something to eat, and we can do what we need to do. Jesus just looked at him and said, no, you feed them. Yeah, right. Look, there's 5,000 people here. You want me to feed them? Yeah, you feed them. We couldn't feed them, Jesus, we couldn't feed them if we had, it would take us 200 denarii to feed them. We don't have that money to begin with. And even then, that wouldn't be a very good meal. So Jesus said, okay, what do you have? They found 5 loaves and 2 fishes, a little boy's lunch. And they came to Jesus, we said, you know, we got 2 pieces of fish, and we got 5 buns. That's all we got. Jesus said, okay. Jesus was about to shed some light on their understanding of him and their understanding of what they had. Jesus had the group people sit down in groups, and he took the fish and he blessed it and he broke it. He took the buns, he blessed it and he broke it. And as he's breaking it, the disciples are taking the baskets of it and passing them out to the people. Scripture says that there were 5,000 men fed that day. That's plus women and children. Close to 10,000 people fed that day from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And we go, oh, wow, what a wonderful miracle of Jesus. And it is a wonderful miracle of Jesus. That he was able to take and to do something that incredible, to multiply fish and buns and bread and just something as basic, and multiply it so that the needs of all of these people were met. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But what's more amazing is the long-term effect on the disciples and those who knew what was going on. Because all of a sudden, to them now, this is a new understanding. Okay, hold it now. Wait a minute. Did you see what Jesus just did? Yeah, I saw. Did you see what Jesus just did? Yeah, I saw it. He fed 10,000 people with that little basket of food. And their whole perspective changed on what God can do with what they have. Right now, amongst us in this place, there's some of us saying, I don't know what I can do with what I have. I don't know what I can do with what I have to get by. I don't know what I can do with what I have to find an answer. I don't know what I can do with what I have to get through the pain that I'm going through, emotional, physical. I don't know what I can do with what I have in the midst of where I am right now. I just don't know what I can do with what I have. I need something more. And so often we go to God and say, I need more, I need more, I need more. And sometimes God's not giving you the more. And sometimes God simply really is saying this. You don't need more. You just need to see what you have in a different way. And he says, give me what you have. In the Old Testament, there's a story of the woman who was, the prophet Elijah came along and met her, and she was was making a biscuit. And she said, Elijah asked her, he said, what are you doing? She says, well, I'm making this and for my son and I, we're going to die. And he said to her, what do you have? She says, all I have is a little oil. He said, go gather jugs from and containers from all your neighbors and start filling them with oil. And so she started filling them with oil, and she filled them with oil. And that little canister or holder of oil she had filled and filled and filled and filled and filled and filled and filled until all of the containers that were brought to her were full. And then the prophet said to her, now go and sell the oil so to pay off the bills that you have, and then live off of the rest, off that little bit. All of a sudden, there's a different perspective. God, can you take what I've got and do something with it? Can you really speak to me in some way and show me in some way, God, that what I have right now, if I really just give it to you and allow you to work with it, that you can do something with it that I can't even begin to understand? One point God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, what have you got in your hand? And Moses said, a stick. God said, throw it down. He threw it down, and that stick, that staff became a serpent. God said, Moses, pick it up. He said, no, thank you. But Moses reached down and grabbed it by the tail, and it turned back into a stick again. Why? Because God got involved. God got involved. The disciples on the boat rowing across the sea, the storm came up. They did everything they could to try and solve it. They cried out, God, don't you care that we die? And Jesus said, what stood up, said to the storm, stop, be quiet. And he turned to the disciples and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, the key for us to be able to get more light on our circumstance is to let God begin to show us his perspective on it, and then we have to believe what God can do. Oh, man. I want to believe what God can do. I want to be able to believe that God can work through where I am. And I want to believe and know that in the situation I'm in, God can work it through. Some of you are concerned about finances. Some of you are concerned about health. Some of you are concerned about jobs. Some of you are concerned about relationships. Listen, let me tell you right now, the first step in all of those is, God, I give you control over this. And the second step is, what do I have that you can use, God? What do I have? Well, I'm looking for a job. God, I need a job. I need a job. What do I have? Well, it doesn't seem like much to me, but God says, give me what you've got. Just give me what you got. If you can hit things with a hammer, just give that to me. Let me tell you what, now we can, let me work that through. Because from that, there can be something you can do. I can draw. Give me that. God, I can cook. Give me that. God, I like to write. Give me that. What is it that you've got that God's simply saying to you? If you want an answer, you're searching for an answer, and God can say, give it to me and let me shed some light on you and on what you've got so that you can see it in a totally different way than you've ever seen it before. Because God loves you. He wants to work those things through you, but it starts with saying, God, I need to see it differently. And God, I have to believe that you are able to take me where I am and do it differently right now. The lamp that's spoken of is there. He says, you don't take it, you don't hide it under a bushel or under a basket or under the bed. You don't hide it there. Because what we sometimes do is say, God, I need light. And then we've hidden the light. God, I need your light. I need your light in my job, for my job. I need your light for my finances. I need your light for strength and healing. I need your light for direction. I need your light for this relationship. God, I need your light on this. And we've taken what we already have, even because it's so small in our perspective, and we've already hidden it away and say, well, this is absolutely of no use. So God, I need something more. With God, it's not about the more for your answer. In many cases, it's about what do you give him. We say, I need. He says, you need to give. I need, you need to give. We've been studying in our life group, we've been studying Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, particularly over the last while. Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. This is what we're talking about when we start seeing the light of God working. You got to think differently, and God's got to transform how you see things. I tell you right now, those of you who are struggling through things and are wanting some answers, God's got another perspective for you. He He's got another perspective for you. And if you can get a hold of that perspective, he can start to change what you do and what you see and how you act. It's going to cause you to see and move in what God's doing and in the way that he wants. Poor disciples with the loaves and fishes, they didn't have this revelation of God for the moment they were in. When you get a revelation of God for the moment you're in, it changes it. And you can start to see, okay, God, you can do something. If we give God what we have, he will give us a new understanding of what it is. He will help us to see it. How do we get it? Verses 22 to 24 back in Mark 4, he says this, "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more." We get really uptight sometimes with the first portion of that where it says, "For whatever is hidden, whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open. Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed." We think that's, oh man, I don't want to go there because that's all my deep, dark secrets. I don't want my deep, dark secrets broadcast on the screen at church on Sunday. Don't want that to happen. I'm not going to do that, so I'm going to play it close. That's really not what it's saying here. It's saying to you that, and to me, that there are secrets of God, secrets of Christ. The context is that God is showing us and the light that's there. The secrets of God are going to be opened up to you and they're going to be disclosed. God wants to show you secrets. Secrets for your life. Secrets for where you're going. Secrets for the answers that you need to have. He wants to show you those secrets. It was a secret from the disciples that Jesus could and would turn the loaves and fishes into feeding 10,000. It was a secret from Moses that God was going to turn that stick into a serpent. It was a secret, but God opened it up and displayed it and disclosed it. When he did, it was just like, wow. I don't know about you. I love wow moments with God. I absolutely love those wow moments. When all of a sudden God does something and I go, wow, look what he did. Look what he said. Look how this worked out. Look at the way this has been turned around. Look at the changes that's being here. And it's just like, woo. I know we're too conservative for that. We're Canadians. I'm sorry. Woo. Yay, yay. But don't you love it when God does that? Do you need God to do that for you now? Is there an area in your life that you need a wow moment from God? I need one. Anybody else? You need a wow moment? God, we need a wow moment. And that wow moment starts with a different perspective that we can put our faith in Jesus Christ to do it. You have to start trusting that he will do what needs to be done. And here's the thing that comes along when God starts to do that and starts to work that through. Those trials, those challenges that we've been through that become wow moments for God, because God's revealed to us, he's given us light into areas and understanding of things that we didn't know before. We've seen it like we didn't know it before. And we have those wow moments. We go, oh, wow, now I can see things differently about God. I can understand things differently about where he's at. And I've got more faith in him now. I can trust him because I've seen these things happen. Listen, those trials and temptations are going to come in our lives. We were told in James very clearly, you will have trials and temptations. Absolutely. It is going to come. Do not be surprised when things don't go as you have planned. Don't be surprised when things go sideways. Don't be surprised when you find yourself in that place where you're the deer in the headlights. You're going, ah, and you don't know what to do, and you're in that place. Do not be surprised about those things. But, it's no surprise to God. Not one amen. It's no surprise to God. That was very Canadian. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's no surprise to God. And he goes, relax. Relax. I got this. I got this. And then if we ask and seek him, he'll reveal to us the light on that issue and that subject. He'll show us. And then you know what else happens? That's how we become light to the world around us. When God shows us the light in our trials and tribulations, and we go, we put our faith in him, and God does what he's going to do, and we trust him. And people see that. They go, how did you do that? How did you get through that? How did you possibly get through it the way you did? How? It makes no sense to me. You go, because I have this relationship with Jesus Christ, and I put my faith and my trust in him. And when I put my faith and my trust in him, he helps me to see things differently and act differently. And they go, huh? And you go, yeah, no, this is true. And you are able to declare the goodness of God into someone's life in a way that they are so receptive to it. The most effective witnessing is not taking your Bible under your arm into the workplace on Monday morning and plunking it down open on the lunch table at work and start reading it out loud while your fellow employees are having their lunch. That is not the most effective witnessing for Jesus Christ. But what is effective witnessing for Jesus Christ is when they know you're a Christian and they're watching how you deal with things. And they see in you an answer and a light that's different than anything they've had before. And they go, how? Why? We need to hear. We need to listen. The revelation that God's going to have to you will come by you hearing and listening what you're going through as he speaks to you as to what you are supposed to do. Do not get out of the boat and walk on the water unless you really know that's him saying it to you. But he can do it. He can do it. And as soon as you know he can, it changes your perspective. And you start to see, Lord, how are you going to work this one out? Quite honestly, that's one of the most fun things that I experience is, God, how are you going to work this one out? I'm still learning that, quite honestly. I'm still learning that. There's times when it's not easy. But I'm still, God, okay, here it is. How are you going to work this one out? And then we get to the wow. And I've had opportunities at work because of how God's worked in the wow in things they've seen me go through. And those doors have opened to share about who Jesus Christ is. And what he does and what he means to me. And declare who Christ is in the midst of it. And we can declare God's goodness. We can declare how God works. And we can declare the power and goodness of Christ by declaring everything that he wants to do. Along the way, there was a man in a blind man who was born blind in John chapter 9. This man who was blind came to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. Now, the way Jesus healed him was he spat in the dirt and made mud pies and stuck them on the guy's eyes. Probably a good thing he was blind to see that happen. And then Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and washed, and he was healed. And then the Pharisees got kind of upset, saying, you know, what was this? Who was this? Was this man, is this a good man, or is this a sinner? Who did this, and how did he do it? And the man replied to the Pharisees, he says, I don't know if this man was a sinner or not, but this I do know. Once I was blind, and now I can see. He went from darkness to light because of what Jesus did. This morning, I want us to take a step to move from darkness to light. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are God, that you want to reveal yourself to us, that you want to move us from darkness to light, that you want your light to shine through us, and Lord, you want it to shine on us, to show us where we are, to help us to see and act and respond to things around us that can cause us to be and do what you want us to be and do. So that, Father, when we do that, we grow in you and we get excited about you, but then also other people see what you're doing in us and we are light to them as well. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Lord, so many of us this morning need your light on a situation in our lives. So, Father, I pray that you guide us in that now. What I'd like you to do this morning, the lights in the building are being turned down. If you need God to shine light on you this morning, I want you to get out your cell phone. And I want you to turn on your light. Say, God, I need your light. I need your light. I need your light. Come on, more of you said that you need God's light on where you're at. Come on. God, I need your light. I need your light in my circumstances. I need your light in my life. I need your light power in me now. I need you, Lord God. I need you to do it. God, you are the answer that I need. I've tried and I've thought and I've sweated and I've got frustrated, God, and there's no other way I can do it, but I need your light. I need your light. I need your light. Look around and see how much light there is when we shine our lights. See what it does? When we shine our light, other people see it. Your eyes aren't drawn to the darkness. Your eyes are drawn to the light. You see what there is light out here. As you're looking around you, you see it right now. This is light out here around you. You see it. And if God is shining his light on you and in your circumstances and what you are doing, you now are reflecting that light back out and people are seeing God work in your life. And you are that light to people around you. And you can make differences in their lives. Hold your phones up high. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we stand before you this morning, and we know that you are the God of light. And Father, we ask that you show your light on us today, that you speak light into our situations. Father, I pray that you will reveal right now for those who are seeking a healing from you, the steps they must take, and let them give to you what of their hurt or of their fear or of their grief or of their action that they need to give to you, so that, Father, you can start to work in it now. Those who are going through struggles in their lives, wherever they may be, whatever it is that's holding them back from it now, Father, we give it to you. For those who are seeking jobs, Lord, let us give to you what little we have. We may not know what the pieces are, but Father, I give to you what I've got. This is what I like to do. This is what I can do. God, I give it to you. And Lord, I ask you, shine your light on it so that I can see it differently and you can work something more powerful out in it. We need your light, and we thank you, Father, that you shine it on us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We honor you, Lord God, because you are good and you love us. You love us and you want to pour your love and light and life upon us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. Father, we give you us now. And ask that you teach us, that you show us, that you guide us. Help us to see things differently. Help us not to be in fear. Help us not to complain, but to expect and to seek. Help us to rejoice. Give us joy. Give us peace. Give us strength. Help us to move through the situations that we are facing with your guidance and with your perspective, so we can see what you want from us and in us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We're going to have communion together this morning. I want you to do it a bit different from the normal. I would like you to come, and as the servers, if you could come and prepare to serve the elements. What I would like you to do this morning is I'd like you to come and pick up both the cracker and the juice. Take them both back to your seat with you. I'd like us to take them both together today. And I just would like us to do that. So if you come, the musicians are going to play. You come and collect the elements, take them back to your seat with you. And what I want you to do as you go back to your seat, those of you that God needs to show some light on something in your life, I want you to pray specifically about that thing as you're taking those elements with you back to your seat. Say, God, I'm seeking your light. I'm seeking you and your answers for where I am right now. Because Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, he died to give you life and so that his light could be on you and in you. Will you do that this morning? Let's take the elements together.
I'll take it.
Scripture says that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This exemplifies God's love, Jesus' love for you. That's what it exemplifies. It's just a rice cracker. There's nothing in and of this cracker that's any different than what you can get at the store. But it's an example of, and a reminder of, God's love for you. He let his body suffer because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he let that happen to him for you. As we eat of this together, we need to thank him for that love. We need to recognize all he gave just because he loved us and thank him for it. Can you thank him as we eat together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. On the same night, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is the new covenant, which is shed for you, which is made for you." We talked about, I asked you to pray about those things where you need God's light revealed. It's through the covenant that we have with Jesus Christ that he is able and wanting to reveal himself to you. Some of us need to get that into our being. God wants to reveal himself to me. Jesus wants to reveal himself to me. He wants to do that. He wants to work in my life. He wants to be there in my life. He wants to help in my life. He wants to do that. I don't have to beg him to do that. He wants to do that. So as we partake of the cup, which exemplifies and symbolizes the covenant that Christ made on the cross with us, allow him to speak to you where you are with what you need. Allow him to do that. Jesus, we thank you for the covenant you gave. We partake of this now together. And Lord, we thank you for this day that we come together to celebrate your lordship in our lives. We worship you in song. We pray to you. We give you thanks. And we seek wisdom from your word. And I pray, Father, now that you continue to bless us and encourage us. May your grace and power and peace be upon each one of us. May you guide and direct us every step of the way throughout our week. Let your love and strength be in us as we face everything we face. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Amen. If you like prayer, prayer teams are here at the front. And we invite you to take advantage of that and make sure you say hi to a few folks before you leave. God bless you. Have a great week.